Welcome to the We Have a Meeting podcast, where we sit down with the world's smartest thinkers to give you the actionable tools, insights, and strategies that could make your life more impactful and productive. This week, we have a meeting with...
Så där ja, nu är det fredag eftermiddag och då är det dags för mig att säga nu tar vi helg. Och helgen hittar du på Willys.
Länge leve långluncher, stimmiga middagar och doften av nygräddade bullar. Länge leve öppna landskap och bördiga fält. Länge leve solens strålar och efterlängtade regndroppar. Länge leve vete, korn, råg och havre. Länge leve jorden. Läs mer på lantmännen.se.
Med Verisures nya hemlarm börjar säkerheten vid din dörr. Lockguard digitalt dörrlås gör att dörren alltid är skyddad med schemalagd låsning. Och du har full kontroll via mobilen över vad som händer i ditt hem, dygnet runt. Just nu Lockguard utan extra kostnad vid beställning av vårt nya hemlarm. Besök verisure.se idag.
So today we are joined by one of the most exciting names in sales, the founder of Routes to Market and Air Marketing. This man is somebody whose views align with ours and believe the cold call is alive and thriving. It's Mr. Owen Richards. How are you?
Very well. How are you guys?
We're good. It's exciting. It's exciting
good
to be
intro.
Doing this.
Thank you. I enjoyed that.
I was up all night writing it. I was worried. So Owen, I guess a good place to start is my dad is an easily confused man, and I tried to explain to him when I was obviously going to join Zach with the business, I tried to explain what I was going to do, and it took a long, long time to explain. So I guess a good question is, if you're explaining to my dad or Zach's nana, what would you say that you do for a living?
Oh gee, what would I say the business does, or what would I say I do?
A little bit of both.
In simple terms, my down the pub thing is I run a business, because I think it's easier for people to understand. But I've got a lot of friends that have no idea what this industry and sector looks like, and they're in very different worlds. And yeah, I try and keep it as simple as possible. In terms of the business, do you know, it's that taxi conversation. What do? I always say, we'll just help people sell more. It's as simple as that. We help people sell more of what they've got to sell. I think that's the simplest way that we can put it. We're focused on building revenue for people, helping them sell their product or their service more often, more of the time, for more money.
Very good. And then what would you, if they said, what sort of businesses do you work with? Is that usually a follow-up question that naturally follows? What would you say? Have you got kind of a sector expertise?
I wouldn't say we're certainly not a niche agency by design. I think there are sectors that we spend more time in and around. So software, finance, fintech, those sort of technology, SaaS, those sectors are where we spend probably 60-70% of our time if you group them together. But I love the 30-40% of our business that is completely random. the one thing that ties it all together is B2B. But, over the years, we've sold everything from some of the most intangible consultancy services to grains of rice. I mean, you can't get more random than that, can you? And heaters that are powered by chicken poo.
Wow.
So, yeah, exactly. And I love that, because you learn so much. So my response to the question would be, we sell in a B2B market. We sell what businesses are selling to other businesses. I will certainly not focus on one particular sector alone.
Do you think it is slightly more software leaning, because that's where the tangible problem solving is happening at the moment? Because obviously you need to go out and be able to solve the problem rather than be the software expert. You just need to quickly, tangibly get what problem do you solve, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I think it's market driven. So, we're in a market where digital has gone better in the last 2 years, and people-led solutions have often gone worse. So naturally the demand is coming from certain markets more and more, but also, these are solutions that need to be proactive in selling what they do. They have to drive outbound pipeline to grow, versus other sectors that are, there's millions of people that Google for that. So, if you're looking for a certain product, that product exists. I need that product, or I don't need that product. I go and buy that product. There's less need to build an outbound demand. And you might be focused more on digital, on inbound marketing, on content creation. I think in a market like software, we don't all sit there and go, I need a software that does that. We've got to help people, buyers, to understand the problem that they're experiencing, that there is actually a solution for that. So I think there's a couple of reasons that those markets go well, and naturally they are funded, therefore they have money, therefore they want to go fast, therefore they want to sell more, versus service businesses and other sectors tend to be a bit more either hand to mouth or profit led growth rather than funding led growth. So a few reasons why I think that sector is a good one.
Okay. Slightly random question, but it will all make sense in a moment. Have you ever been to Blackpool?
I have, yeah.
You've been to Blackpool? Right, okay. So me and Jack are both from Blackpool. Mm-hmm. If you've been there before, you'll know there's a big tower.
Yeah.
I want you to imagine you're at the top of that tower, looking out on all your achievements so far. Where is your attention being drawn to as your greatest achievement?
It's always people for me. So there are individual people within the team that have joined us in the early stages of business. So for us, that's five and a half years ago, that have been with us now for 5 years. And I use Marco, who's our sales director, as a great example. And he's gone from a 21, 22-year-old joining us as an SDR, business development rep, and has multiplied his earnings a lot, has bought two or three properties in the time that he's been with us, has grown into a fully-fledged adult in a relationship, and bought his first house and bought some properties that he's invested in. He bought a couple of boats as well. And I see the development in his life and him becoming a very good sales professional and a thought leader and somebody who innovates within our business. And I look at that journey and I take a lot of pride out of seeing many people go on something similar where they're able to see air as a home and as somewhere where they can achieve their personal goals, at the speed they want to or faster in some cases. And I think that's amazing to see. Naturally, there are people that have fallen off that journey for whatever reason. But I think the ones that have stuck it through, they've been through the turbulence of getting things right, getting things wrong, trying, failing, tweaking what they're doing and then trying again and succeeding. They're the ones those are the things that I really take a lot of satisfaction from, is the career creation, the fact that we've gone from nothing to 85 people in that time frame, to offer 85 people jobs, to have 85 people who rely on us to pay their mortgage and pay their bills and feed their families is something that I'm extremely proud of. So I think that's where I always tend to go to.
Okay, that's amazing. And obviously it sounds like you're a real people's person. And I think if you work in sales, you kind of have to have a love for people anyway. I guess when it comes to kind of guiding people and kind of getting them to the point where they might have a couple of boats, a couple of houses or a full-time girlfriend, what would you say are some of the struggles that you faced along the way with that, Owen?
Look, I think...
Dags för en löptur i vårsolen eller efterlängtad semester i nya sandaler. Glöm inte skavsårsplåster från Compeed. Compeed skavsårsplåster innehåller hydrokolloid gelteknologi för snabbare läkning och omedelbar smärtlindring. Så att du kan komma på fötter igen på nolltid. Compeed skavsårsplåster är medicintekniska produkter. Läs bruksanvisningen innan användning. I betalt samarbete med Compeed och Perigo Sverige. Mer info hittar du på compeed.se.
Så där ja, nu är det fredag eftermiddag och då är det dags för mig att säga nu tar vi helg. Och helgen hittar du på Willys.
There's an expectation thing. So I think, you battle with getting people to understand that there's a lot of hard work and a lot of time and patience that goes into getting there. So, I think it's a bit like a snowball effect. Mm. You have to work for a good couple of years at something where you feel like, geez, I've got to believe in this, but I might not be seeing the reward. I know where I want to be in 5 years' time, but I don't feel like I'm halfway along that, 2.5 years in. I think you tend to be 20% of the way along that, and then it tends to snowball from there if you're doing the right things. And I think getting people to understand that, you can't become the managing director in 2 years. It is hard nowadays, particularly in a world where we're seeing people being super successful doing things like YouTubing and that sort of stuff. I think people's expectations have changed in terms of what success looks like and the speed at which they want it. So getting people to understand that, you know, it's like the old adage in my day, that was becoming a professional footballer. Yeah, not everybody can do that. There's this very, very small percentage of people that do that. And if you base your happiness and success on their standards, you're going to be disappointed 9 times out of 10. And I think managing expectations for people is always hard, because we need to be talking them down without making them feel negative a lot of the time. I think, you know, we've always got that battle in a growing SME of having to bring people on top. So people were doing well. We've made the mistake of promoting them to the point of failure, you know, where we promote them so fast because the business is growing quickly. They get to the point of doing a job that they're not very good at because they've never done it before.
Yeah.
And having to do that before they're ready. And actually what you have to do is bring somebody who's been there, done it, that they can learn from before they step in. That's a really big challenge, because, you know, the natural instinct, if you bring somebody in on top of you, is to go, hang on a second, you don't think I'm good enough for that job. You don't believe in me. And actually, now I'm reporting to someone different. I'm being held accountable to somebody new who's come in, hasn't put all this energy and effort in the 2-3 years prior to that. It's a real culture change for people and a shock to the system. And I think that's something I've learned the hard way over the last 5 years or so, that, you know, there's an art and a skill to that. I think those are a couple of things that I see consistently.
Okay. And I guess I don't want to make it a bit of a cliche question, so I want you to think outside the box with this one. But me and Zach, we're in the process now of bringing in kind of our first team members to join us and grow the team. So I guess, what are the key things? Because obviously it'd be great to say, I'm going to hire someone that's great at sales and they've got tenacity. But is there anything that you can think of outside of the box, I guess, when you're looking for members for your companies, what is important for you?
So I think the biggest, you're right, the cliche bit is that they're coachable and they're, you know, all these sorts of things. I think that all those things are valid. I think if I'm trying to think of the things that I would do or look for that are different, I think certainly in your stage of business, early stage of business, for me, one of the most critical things is having people you like, having people you want to spend time with. And in some ways, you can't expect to hire the finished product when you're starting a business early stage. You don't necessarily, you're not in a position to necessarily pay the salaries as your big competitors. You haven't got the benefit packages necessarily. You haven't got the track record. You're not offering them the security that somebody's been around for a decade that's got 100 employees might have, versus, you know, you've got to believe in us. Come on, we're going to do this. We promise. It's a very different conversation. So I think if I look back on those early stages, for me particularly, it's people I like. It's people that I genuinely thought I could talk openly with, that I could build a connection with, so that they buy into me and I buy into them, because that togetherness is something that can help you get over some of the gaps and some of the things that you don't necessarily have in the skill set and in the maturity. So, you know, I think that rings true all the way through business. I think probably it becomes less important when you're, you know, hiring, you know, you've got two levels of management between and that sort of stuff. And nowadays when I'm involved in hiring, it's more at a senior leadership team level. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm looking for experience much more. I'm looking for, you know, resilience. I'm looking for people who are prepared to take some stuff on the chin, who are prepared to deal with the difficulties that come with being in a leadership role. Trust me, it's not all positive and glory. It gets harder as the further up the food chain you go, you deal with more and more of the negative, stressful stuff, in my view. But I think, yeah, that piece of, you're running a small business where, as a director, as a leader, you're going to be working directly with people coming in at, you know, at a junior level. You've got to enjoy people's company. If you don't, it becomes very, very difficult to be successful.
I can imagine. That's really good advice. So we took you to Blackpool. You went to Blackpool Tower. You had a good look around. There wasn't much to see. So we're going to take you to the south of France now. We're going to stick you in a yacht. It's the end of your career. We're going to push you off, and you've got a margarita in your hand. But before we do that, before you're out there and you're sipping cocktails in the sunshine, what have you got left to do in your professional life?
Jeez, that's some question. It's not a question I've been asked before. I think my immediate reaction is, well, it's two things. One, I can't see me ever stopping. Personality-wise, I'm not the person who's going to sit in the yacht and go missing. I think the biggest thing to me is, if I was genuinely at a point where I felt I've done what I need to do, I don't have to worry about future money, security, I don't have to worry about pride, identity, all those sorts of things. I think for me, it then becomes about how can I empower other people to go and learn from what I've learned and the experiences I've got. So, you know, I'd love to be in a position where I never have to earn a penny again, and I can support other people to go and do their journey, but do it their way. They've got to work hard for it. I think, you know, nobody wants a gift, nobody wants to be given anything. Well, maybe some people do, I wouldn't. But yeah, I think it would be, you know, it would be about, well, can I find some people who look like me 30, 40 years ago that are desperate to go and make something work, that maybe are raw and, you know, they've got all the energy, they're good people, they're working hard, but would benefit from my experience, my input, my guidance, and help them go and achieve what they want to help or what they want to achieve. So I think that for me would be a really nice position to be in.
Så där ja, nu är det fredag eftermiddag och då är det dags för mig att säga nu tar vi helg. Och helgen hittar du på Willys.
Prova Sveriges godaste burgare. Just nu en favorit. Mixad med lyxigt briochebröd, tärnad avokado, picklad chili och sour cream med jalapeno-dressing däremellan. Beställ den i Max-appen. Välkommen till Max.
It's funny, when we talk to people, there seems to be a running theme with people when we ask these questions. Mm. And for you, there seems to definitely be this thing about being people-driven. So you want to see others do well, even when you're talking about a plan for, it sounds like retirement will probably never happen. But when you think about the twilight years, shall we say, there's certainly still that people drive that's there. Is that something you've always had, or is that something that became much more of a factor as you grew a business? Were you always like that?
I know, I've always been like that. I am textbook extrovert. I get my energy from people. I'm terrible in my own company. I think I've been like that all my life. So I think there's been an evolution of becoming less selfish as I've got older. So, you know, I'm not old, but I'm 37. I've got 3 children. You know, I think my life in the last 7 years, since having my first 6.5 years, has changed a lot. I definitely think if I look back in my 20s, I was a hell of a lot more selfish than I am now, that's for sure. But I still think that theme would have run true, that my success is, or the way I see success for me is through other people, is helping other people to be successful. And I think there's a selfishness in that as well, which is that I think if you make other people successful around you, then that supports you and it elevates you and pushes you forward. I can't run a 85-person business and be successful doing it all myself. So I've got to make sure that other people are progressing, are being successful, are achieving their goals for me to achieve mine. I think I don't think you can create that mentality. I think you just are who you are, and I think that's the person I naturally am.
Has it ever had any drawbacks, do you think, being that way leaning? Has it ever bit you?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I've been mugged off a few times in my career because I've been too nice, that's for sure. I think my there were two or three potential big risks that come with being the way that I am. One is that I think I tend to see people's positives first. And I think historically that was seeing only their positives. That's matured into seeing their positives first. So I've got better, but I will like somebody and trust somebody by default. It's up to them to break that if they choose to do that. But I'm not somebody that needs much convincing to like people. And I think sometimes that can be a risk, because my desire to be liked and like people can overrule logic. And again, with maturity, I think I've got better at that. But certainly, you know, I'm not somebody who likes, who going back in the early stage of my career, enjoyed conflict. I would tend to avoid it and want to focus on the positive relationship, but also believe that I could solve problems through that. So, you know, going back to the hiring people you like thing, it probably runs in theme, doesn't it? That's great, but it makes it very hard when things go wrong sometimes. And, you know, you've got to have both sides. So, you know, there are definitely downsides. And that comes down to understanding yourself. So I think one of the things that has helped me to get to where we are is being able to be self-aware enough to say, I'm not great at this. This is something that I need to hire people around me to think, you know, I'm not necessarily really good. I've got better at it, but really good at that challenging stuff. I tend to, you know, be the Mr. Nice Guy, and therefore I don't spot the risk all the time. And, you know, people can take advantage of that. And again, I think you do evolve over time. The other thing is I'm not good at detail, so I have people that are good at that around me. So, you know, I think that self-awareness is really key. But yeah, it's definitely downsides. In the same way as there are the other way around. You know, if you are focused on the the difficulty in being, you know, I'm prepared to have direct and being really direct with people and challenging, then it can be hard to form relationships where people have got the tolerance to buy into you and go with you through the difficult time. So I wouldn't change it, but I think it's important to be aware of the downside of it.
Yes, absolutely. I've noticed actually in me and Jack have got, we use the same process, but slightly differently. Like if someone was needing a nicer person, Jack is probably the man. He's more the, Jack's got hundreds of friends. I've got about 15 friends in my life. And that, I made those friends when I was a teenager, you know? So yeah, there's an interesting bit there. It's almost like the sales personality is not necessarily about introvert and extrovert. It's almost about your relationship with validation and rejection. You know, if you see someone and you hire them and you think, what's your relationship like with, how much validation do you need and how do you handle rejection? Those are effectively the two things you're going to be feeling every day in a sales situation. So how do you relate to those? Seems to be the kind of key driver. And Jack is very nice and also very resilient, which is a strange concoction. Ask him in 10 years when he's got grey hair if he's feeling so.
Maybe 10 years, we'll see.
So that moves us on quite nicely actually to our last question. So I want you to imagine you're in Back to the Future. You had a knock at the door. You can go back to the start. What advice would you give yourself if you were starting this journey on day one that you wish you knew back then?
Two things. I'd value myself more early in my career. Absolutely. I think certainly in the early stages of my career, I don't think I realised, and I don't think I had the people around me to tell me what I was capable of. And I think that's partly why I am the way I am in terms of wanting to support other people and help people understand that they are often better than they think they are. But that doesn't come, that doesn't mean they automatically earn the right to be successful. I think you've got to work hard at it and, you know, you've got to go through the failure to get there. But I definitely was some bits in the early stage of my career where I needed mentors around me and I didn't seek those or have those naturally. And I think probably in a similar theme is having the confidence to back myself to go and do my own thing sooner. I think there's a stigma around starting a business, being an entrepreneur, whatever you want to put it, that it's impossible, it's hard. You know, if you look at the definition of the word entrepreneur, it's simply somebody who starts something new of their own to seek a better life, to do something better. You're an entrepreneur at the moment, you go and register a company's house, limited companies on company house, come up with a company name and decide on what it's going to happen. Doesn't mean you're a great one, but you are one. I think there's a stigma around the gap between being an employee and doing your own thing, which I think is getting smaller because it's easier to do what's known as a side hustle or a business on the side or whatever you want to call it. But I think I certainly look back now and realise that I could have started a business earlier and been further along if I'd have more confidence in myself and if somebody had helped me understand what that looked like. And I think the third thing for me is, and it's a similar sort of theme, is during my teenage years and growing up, I had no idea what I wanted to do. And I wish that somebody had grabbed me and said, you know, business sales is something you can go and do. Again, there's a stigma around being in an office. Oh, I don't want to work an office job. An office job can be exceptionally exciting. It can be, you know, if you're growing a business and you're layering on 100% growth every year, bringing on 20, 30 people, making all the mistakes that come with that, winning new clients, building a brand, that's exciting. And you might be sat in a chair doing it. We've got stand-up desks out there. You can stand up and do it if you want. It doesn't matter. You can go for walking meetings outside. The point is that I think there's a mindset around white-collar working still in the education system. And I wish somebody had told me you could work in an office and it can be exciting and fun at the same time. And I think probably I went through my career not knowing what I wanted to do, or through my education not knowing what I wanted to do. And again, didn't really have guidance from educational institutions or family members to say, hey, you know, go and do this, go and have a look at this. And I think our system needs to be better. So my advice to people growing up through their teens would be, you know, educate yourself on what it looks like to go and work in sales. Sales is a very valuable industry. For me, the best MDs, the best CEOs, the best innovators out there all understand sales or are good at sales or have worked in sales at some point. And, you know, the whole adage of everybody works in sales is so true. You know, I would learn sales over any other skill first. And I wish I'd have learned it sooner.
Yeah, And I think you've kind of, you've given some great insights into it, this conversation today. And I think that, like Zach said earlier, the main thing it boils down to is we're all going to go through life. We're all going to make mistakes. And if you can pass that knowledge forward rather than being selfish with it, you kind of, we go back to it. It's like the picnic mentality is after you've had your picnic, just make sure that you pack everything away. You pick up your Walker's crisp wrappers and you're on your way. Just leave it all a little bit better. And it sounds like you're doing that within your industry. So thank you so much for that, Owen.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Great. Can I ask one last question? Can I ask one last question? Actually, was there a point when you knew it was working? So you said before you didn't know what to do. So I'm guessing initially when you started this business, there was, I definitely had it. The sleepless nights of sat in my bed thinking, what if this doesn't work? Was there a point for you where you thought, you know what, this is actually going to work?
Yeah, it's good. So I had a bit of a cheat code because I was head of ops, general manager of an agency in Australia doing the same thing as an employee. So I had 8 years of getting things wrong and learning of experience to know what not to do. So I think there was an air of confidence in being able to execute. Where I lacked the confidence was having the bravery to start it, I think,
right.
to that point. But to your question, somewhere between 6 months and 12 months. So the first 12 months of me building there, we grew from naught to 15, 16 people, something like that, I would have thought. Best guess, I can't remember exactly. But at that size, you're still doing everything. You're still the best person to do everything in the business. You still can't afford those big salaries to hire experts. You're trying to grow people and teach people. I can't tell you how many times I got ill in that first 12 months, just because I was so stressed. I had a newborn as well, so I made the stupid mistake of starting the business 2 months after my first child was born, or a month, if you will. Absolute madness. But that year was horrendous. But I remember about 6 months in going on my first holiday. I say holiday, it was a long weekend. And it was the first time somebody else had posted on our social channels and I saw a bit of content. I went, hang on a second, we're a business now. We're not me. Because somebody else was doing something public. So yeah, I think definitely in that sort of 6 months to 12 months, there was a transition from everything's on you, everything's about you. And it can break in an instant, losing a couple of clients or a couple of people leaving, to actually there's enough substance in this that we can handle a few failures and we can handle a few things going wrong. So now is the time to let people have a run and allow them to make mistakes. And you start to then see people evolve into something better than what they were a minute ago. And you start to realize, geez, I've got a business here. So I think somewhere in that window is where it happens. But I think pinpointing it would be very difficult.
Wow. A lot of synergy. I've got a 2-week-old baby downstairs. So, yeah, there's some... it's funny when you hear things and you think, I know what that feels like. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Holding the newborn, building the website. Morning. You know,
exactly. Yeah, there's been a lot of that. And muting calls when I can hear a baby crying until he stops crying. And then, yeah, right, let's carry on. So if people want to find you, want to pick your brains, want to use the business, what's the best way of starting that process?
So if you want to talk to the business, it's air-marketing.co.uk, and get in touch with one of the teams. If you want to talk to me, LinkedIn is where I spend a lot of time. So best to get in contact. The only problem is my emails are flooded. So if you send me a LinkedIn email, I'm not all that organised with it, I will admit, because the amount of very poorly written sales emails I get makes
just call him.
I know, exactly. It's not the week for the chaff. So I always say the best thing to do is phone me. There's a number on our website. I take phone calls. So if I'm available, I return phone calls for people that are phoning me. So, you know, I think if you want to talk to me genuinely, then pick up the phone and talk to me. It's the best one.
Let's see what that brings on. I'm sure you're going to be bombarded with questionable cold calls now, Owen. Amazing. Thank you
just
so much.
Just be prepared for feedback. That's all I say.
Så där ja, nu är det fredag eftermiddag och då är det dags för mig att säga nu tar vi helg. Och helgen hittar du på Willys.
Hej, det här är Kronas apotek i Visby, Sveriges solsäkraste stad. Visste du att solkräm faktiskt blir sämre med tiden? Är du osäker på hur gammal din är? Är det säkrast att skaffa en ny?
Vi finns här i sommar med tips, råd och produkter. Online och över hela Sverige. Kronans apotek, ditt sommarapotek.
Vårt hus på en äng med kaprifol.
Vårt hus, vi vill hellre ha en pool.
Se om ditt hus, prata lån, sparande och hemmet i stort på swedbank.se. Välkommen till en väldigt svensk bank.
Our books are now open. Friends, Romans, countrymen, if you're looking for more sales, and that might be getting more meetings in the diary, meeting more of the right types of people, or breaking into a new area or sector, we've got you covered in two key ways. Number one, we can do it for you. We can kick the doors down, get you the meetings, and do the prospecting that you hate. Or number two, we can teach you how we do it, so you can do it for yourselves, creating repeatable, predictable results. So if you're interested in either of those things, www.wehaveameeting.com and hit the contact us form. Speak to you soon.